Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and of course, this is a show where we talk about so many aspects of that admonition from Revelation 18:4 that says, come out of her, my people, so that you do not participate in her sins, and therefore, hopefully, prayerfully, do not partake of her plagues. Well, the plagues, as I've said for a long time, are increasingly obvious. What I want to do this week is kind of a continuation of a theme, but with a little bit different twist than I've, I believe, at least done perhaps ever, but certainly not for a long, long time. And I'll begin, though, with a place that we've been before, and where I want to continue is kind of a thought experiment, because ultimately, one of the questions that I think people have is, hey, how do we get our friends and neighbors to be aware of it? As we come out, we have people that are eventually need to come out, but maybe it'll be too late. Ultimately, there are lots and lots of things that that fall into this. I guess I'm going to call it the gap. The gap between once we realize that they really do intend to kill people, that the goal here is mass murder, genocide on a global scale. The scripture has laid all of this out, that we're going to see these things come to pass. Not only the genocide and the destruction of so much, but of course the mark of the beast and the elements along those lines. So what that means is that when it comes to those that are, you know, living in the cesspool cities, drinking the Kool-Aid, basically clueless, there is a huge gap. And the question is, as we, I don't know that we can bridge the gap, but as people begin to decide on their own that they want to come out of the gap, what does that look like? Can we, in fact, help? How do we understand it? And of course, what the other issue is, if we realize that so much evil is going on here, one of the characteristics of people who begin to understand is they get disgusted. Hey, there's nothing we can do, and so forth. Well, that's not an attitude of faith, not an attitude of the look up for your redemption draweth nigh kind. But it's also not even productive. So where I'm going to go today, I was debating whether or not to tell you exactly one of the terms that I'm going to use, but we'll lay it out up front. It's called self-selection, and it's key to everything I'm going to talk about. As an engineer, this sounds a little bit too nerdy, but what it really boils down to is filtering. What's the purpose of a filter? It's to keep the grounds from going into the stuff down below. In electronics, we're talking about filtering signals that we want from signals that we don't want. If you had a radio receiver and it didn't have filtering on the front end, well, it would receive everything at once. It would receive everything, and you wouldn't be able to understand what you were hearing. I guess you think about it, you have to filter what's coming in from the news, too, because if you let the crap override the signal, the real stuff, well, you end up with a lot of people who are clueless. So their filters don't work. But that's, again, just part of it. So I'm going to throw this term out, self-selection, as it applies to filtering. And then we'll kind of come full circle as we lay out some of the issues here. All right, now, I said that there was a place that we've been that I've started, and that is certainly the truly evil. And I guess with that in mind, I'll read a verse that has literally been on my mind a lot lately. This comes from the book of John, or Yohanan, chapter 10. A lot of times I tend to think about the second part of the verse more than the first. Both of them are vital to our understanding. This is Yeshua talking, and he's talking about himself and essentially how he has to deal with the sheep, saying to these folks, speaking in parables, verily I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, the gate, if you will. All that ever came before me, they're thieves and robbers. The sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, here's the verse that I'm leading up to. It's John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, ultimately, if you think about it, the thief is the enemy, ha-satan, the adversary. Lots of terms that are used in Scripture to describe anything adversarial to him. But ultimately, that's what we're talking about here. A level of evil that most people simply can't wrap their heads around because they don't understand this concept. The thief comes for one reason. Well, actually three, but it's all the same if you think about it. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Folks, that is precisely what we're seeing in the world today. It is precisely why this big gap exists, because a lot of people just can't believe that the Biden viewer, that those who are of the deep state, that those who serve Satan, and let's not be any less blunt than we need to be. That is precisely what we're dealing with. People who want to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What does Yeshua say? I've come that they might have life. Two-word summary of Torah. I have come that they might have life, and furthermore, he says, that they might have it more abundantly. All right, now we can stop there, but the next couple of verses are interesting. They do set up where I want to go today. I, he says, and we've all heard this one, right? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling, not the shepherd, they're not his own sheep. He sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep. Now, here's the interesting question as I'm reading this verse. Is the regime, the deep state, is it the wolf or is it the hireling? Or is it simply the hireling for the wolf? Maybe that's the key point. So the hireling, though, he doesn't own the sheep. He just sees a wolf coming. He leaves them. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. He eats a few. He does exactly what the regime intends to do, to kill as many as they possibly can and subject the rest to slavery of a kind they've never even imagined was coming, but Scripture has warned us about for 2,000 years. The hireling, he says in John 10:13, flees because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says. I know my sheep, and I am the owner of my sheep. The Father knows me, and as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we understand where this is headed, but the key here is that's a great way to understand the other things that I want to talk about today, and this concept of self-selection. Right? Whose sheep are whose? My sheep know my voice. There's a whole lot of other sheep out there that I guess are just wolf fodder. If you remember Demonocracy, Democracy, Ben Franklin's famous comment, what is the definition of democracy? Two wolves and a sheep deciding on what's different. There are a lot of parallels all the way through what we're gonna discuss, and they all ultimately hinge around this big gap. Can people see it? Once you see it, as I like to say, you can't unsee it. It's obvious, but it's not obvious to those that are blinded, except in hindsight. Now, frequently I quote things like Isaiah 66, the places in the Brit Hadashah, the Renewed Covenant. They're the same kind of issue. Are those that are blind, they have rejected truth. I will choose their delusions. He will send strong delusions. It's mentioned several ways in different places, but it's the same point. We see it today. There are people that are so deluded, they've been drinking, we'd say nowadays, and they're just plain not going to get it. They're not going to get it until it's too late. They may never get it. They may shake their fist ultimately as the final end draws in on them. But ultimately, what does Yeshua say? We have to figure out. Because there comes a point at which we simply need to wipe the dust off our sandals as a witness against them and move on. Now, as for the rest, that's kind of what I'm talking about today. Those that either have eyes to see currently or know that when the time comes, we're going to have to deal with people who didn't, but now they do. And how can we help them? How can we provide for them? We can't certainly provide for all of them. Maybe we can with the help that comes from on high and for the things that we know he's been planning about. But ultimately, what I want to do is talk about some of the specifics, some of the things that will give us, if you will, arms. How can we deal with the situation we see today? And I guess I'll throw one other thing out up front, too. I heard some interesting things. Admired the man. He has written one of the most famous and important books of all when it comes to understanding one of the big mechanisms for destroying society, the Federal Reserve. Dishonest weights and measures is the way Scripture put it. And of course, G. Edwards Griffith, his famous book is The Creature from Jekyll Island, all about the Fed. And he essentially has been using an analogy that I find interesting of late, that the volunteers don't have to be paid. You got a lot of people that they want their fiat, right? The whole world, essentially, the love of money is the root of all evil. I guess the love of fake money and the ability to print it without end is even more the root of a different kind of evil. But the volunteers, those that serve Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and him alone, the kind that we're talking about here as the good shepherd and those that know him, they don't have to be paid, especially not in terms of fiat. They're doing something else. So that was something he saw as a positive thing. I couldn't help but remember an old song that probably dates me a bit, but Put Me in Coach. And that is what one of the things that the volunteers will say. I want to play. I want to be part of the team. I want to go to battle for the true master of the universe, the master of war, Yahuwah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and him alone. All of those things, basically, they go back to this idea that I'm going to keep threshing out here of self-selection. People who understand, people who eventually, maybe they didn't have it all along, but eventually they have eyes to see, and they choose to be on Team Yah, and as a result, they self-select. And ultimately, one of the things that I'm going to encourage us to do is to self-select and understand that the volunteers don't have to be paid, but they do understand. They remember Isaiah's job, the famous story by Albert J. Nock that I've mentioned on this show and other places any number of times. Tell them what I tell you to tell them. The remnant is what he is referring to in that story. And basically, the bottom line is the remnant will find the prophet. The remnant will find the truth. Why? Because they're seeking it. They will self-select to find and to go and to do what it is that their Creator has for them to do. So that is ultimately, I think, the biggest tool, the biggest power that we have. Essentially what we're saying is we want to look for other people who are saying, put me in, coach. I want to serve Yah and Him alone. We're going to have to sort through a lot of chaff in order to get there. And one of the things that I'm going to start out with today, but it's not where we're headed. It's just how we're going to begin to get there. It has to do with some of the things that we can recognize as far as, how do we know? How can we help people as they begin to see it to come the rest of the way? And part of that, the big hurdle, I suggest, is this idea of understanding true, unbelievable evil. And what does Yeshua say? The thief comes, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And once people realize that, it gets a lot easier to start to separate the truth from the great big lies. So let me throw out a bunch of stories. I've done all of these in just the last week or so. Some of them date way, way back. For example, the COVID-19 BS, the great big stinking lie about the biggest bioweapon deployment arguably in human history, all of the idiocy that went with it, the absolutely bogus mask crap. Okay, I remember as an engineer seeing that and saying, okay, this is stupid on so many levels. It requires a level of suspension of disbelief in order to suck it up and put on your stupid face diaper, that it just astounded me. And I still see people, I'm sure you probably do too, because I'm out in the boondocks here, don't see them nearly as often, but I went into the People's Republic of Denver here a couple months back, and there are several of them running around wearing their idiot mask alone in a car. What does that tell you, besides the fact that they don't know that oxygen is good for them and that there's nothing that is going to be stopped by the mask? That's going to be stopped by the mask except oxygen. Oh, yeah, it will, in fact, prevent CO2, carbon dioxide, from going out. Funny how the same people that fear carbon dioxide, oh, no, it's going to kill the planet, are more than happy to put on a face diaper and rebreathe it until they, well, either keel over or destroy their immune system. This is part of the problem. This is actually part of the place where I'm headed today. Bogus science, okay? Idiot economics, Bidenomics. So many things that are just plain so stupid that once you see them, you wonder, how could people possibly be this duped? All right, here is one of several stories. I'll do the headlines. We don't have to go into the details. This week, the House of Representatives, that doesn't represent much, voted down an amendment. There were actually 83 rhinos that joined the far-left nutcases to torpedo a proposal that would say, hey, airlines, you're public-private partners. You fired all of these pilots. You fired the good pilots, in fact, that knew better, the pilots that knew that the Zyklon B injection not only was not going to help them or their immune systems, but as a matter of fact, it made them medically unfit to fly. So the FAA ignored their own regs, they ignored medical understanding, and they said, nope, we're going to do exactly the opposite of what we claim to. We don't give a damn about the flying public's health. We just want the pilots to take this poison poke. And the fact that our own regs say that if they take the poison poke, which is not only not FDA approved, but hadn't even been on the market for a year, that makes them medically unfit to fly. Well, we're going to pretend that we ignore that. What do we got instead? We got lots of pilots croaking, having strokes and myocarditis and pericarditis. They even had to change the EKG limits on first class medicals as a result. Folks, this is beyond idiotic. This is satanically evil. So what happened this week? U.S. House of Representatives, there was a bill introduced that essentially said we would like the airlines to be able to rehire these pilots. Matter of fact, even force them to, because they're public-private partners after all. It was torpedoed. besides what you already knew. Here's another one. Health officials are really upset because one of the things that's becoming ever more obvious, Ed Dowd is doing a great job on this score. Going and looking at government databases out of the UK, their national health databases, their insurance company databases, people have looked at all-cause mortality in the United States and said, hey, you know, things like this don't happen. Statistically, it's almost as unlikely as an idiot that never came out of his basement all of a sudden getting a vast majority of all the votes that happened after the polls closed. What an amazing coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. If you have any understanding of statistics, it's bogus in the extreme. Well, here is one of those things. Hematological data, said Ed Dowd in a bunch of interviews most recently, claims for insurance that he researched and provided the data on, are 522%, factor of five times above trend in 2022 when the poke came out. So what does that say? Well, you know, it's statistically unlikely. We would say, wow, that doesn't happen by accident. Matter of fact, here's the numbers. Something that happens once in a blue moon is what they call a three sigma event. If you understand statistics, one standard deviation. Well, three standard deviations takes you to the edge of the bell curve, way down in the one or so percent range. You go with three standard deviations, it doesn't happen. How about if you go, well, as Ed Dowd points out, this statistical anomaly is a 61 standard deviation unlikely event. In other words, folks, who are we kidding? We know blankety blank and well what caused it, and they're not going to allow you even to talk about it. So the related story comes from a number of places. Government health officials, which are liars and the truth is not in them, in the United States and the United Kingdom have now declared, and they say it, so it must be true, right? Unless their lips are moving. They claim that the explosion of soaring deaths and disabilities in the aftermath of the COVID mRNA not vaccine injections is, quote, just a coincidence. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. How many more pieces of evidence do we need to see that are essentially undeniable statistically? Well, guess what, folks? If you're intelligent, you're not part of the crowd that's going to go to their deaths, literally shaking their fist at the creator of the universe. Changing gears, but only a bit. Here's another story that at least tells us a bit more about the smokescreen. This is from earlier in the week. A fellow named New York Times best-selling author Peter Schweitzer appeared on FNC, the financial channel's Life, Liberty, and Levin with Mark Levin, and he explained kindly why a special counsel hadn't been appointed to investigate the alleged, yeah, sure, Biden family, crime family wrongdoing. And what he said is, the reason is because if they appointed one, all hell would break loose. Is there any justification of any kind, he was asked by Mark Levin, that this attorney general not appoint a special counsel? The condition is a conflict of interest or an appearance of a conflict of interest, and there are predicates all over the place. And he said, well, that's why the statute for an independent counsel is there in the first place. But the reason one has not been appointed is if they are appointed, or were, and they're not going to be, all hell's going to break loose. Remember what we're talking about here, Mark, he said. Just look at China. Based on the laptop from hell, based on public corporate records, based on things like this story, that the Bidens opened over 20 shell companies to launder their bribes. According to James Comer and the House investigations. All right, all of those reasons. We know that Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family received $30+ million. Now, they got a lot more than that, but they got that $30+ million from just four businessmen in China. When you look at those four men, they're not ordinary businessmen. No, they're not just Communist Chinese Party members. They're not even ordinary high-ranking. Each and every one has ties to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence as well. He goes into the details here, but bottom line is this is something that Washington doesn't want the peons to know. They're not going to have that conversation. Merrick Garland isn't going to go there, and that, of course, folks, is why they put this scumbag there to begin with, to thwart investigations and cover for what's going on. Even though, says Schweitzer, all of this is kind of the poster child for why an independent counsel should be appointed. But I guess what we've learned since then is that the reason for the independent counsel is either to persecute somebody that the deep state wants destroyed. You can take an example of an actually elected president, or to run cover for one that shouldn't have ever been there in the first place. Hey, what else is new? All right, from there, and as we go to break, we're going to talk about some of the other things that I put in the category of bogus science and idiot economics, because it turns out those things go together. There were all kinds of indications this week, and they too really tell you what it is that we need to understand when it comes to self-selection and people that have been so blinded that for the most part, they're unlikely to get it. Now, I understand, and I will suggest again, the Creator can open their eyes, but if He blinds them and they choose the lie because they'd rather believe the lie than the truth, there's not much we're going to be able to do about it. But for the rest, for those that are seeking the truth, those are the ones we want to talk about and arm when we get back. All right, let me just throw this story out to kind of introduce us as we get to the bottom of the hour break here. This was a piece that I thought was funny for several reasons, because, of course, non-existent man-made global warming. Now, I didn't say that climate change was non-existent. Climate change is real. Climate change may, in fact, be man-caused, or at least there's an element of that in here. But as far as your SUV and your carbon footprint, that is bogus to the core for reasons that we'll talk about after the break, if it's not already obvious. But what is clear is that a lot of the idiocy surrounding climate change and carbon footprints is in no way connected with saving the earth. It's about destroying the planet and making sure that in the process they control those people that they want dead and make trillions of bucks in the process. Hey, carbon credits, what a great way to be able to control people at the same time as you line your own pockets. Well, here is one example. Now, this would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. The carbon intensive footprint of solar panels. One of the things you'll hear is that solar panels are really wonderful. Now, they do, in fact, have some good purposes, folks, but this is not one of them. This idea that solar panels have a low carbon footprint because over their lifetime, they produce more kilowatt hours per gram of carbon that it took to make them. But it turns out, here's a shocker. The IPCC has been selling them. This is the UN politically correct climate group. Biggest beneficiary of more solar panel subsidies would be China because of their grip on the global PV market. But here's the kicker, right? It turns out that there's another study that's come out, and somebody else has done it right this time. If you look at the solar PV claims of the IPCC, that it produces 48 grams of carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour over its lifetime. Turns out that number's wrong. The real number is at least 3, maybe 5 times higher than that, because they ignore a lot of things like mining and elements of production that go into it. I have said that's not even the big problem. The big problem, because if you actually realize that carbon footprint is total bogus BS anyway, the big problem is a solar panel takes a lot of energy to manufacture. Now, it may have some value for off-grid applications, like the place where your host is living, because it provides power over a 20-year lifetime or so. That's wonderful. But guess what? Somebody had to run diesel tractors and diesel mining equipment and ventilation shafts and all kinds of stuff to provide the steel, the rare earths, the silver, the metals that went into it. And when you add all of that up, if you're lucky, over the lifetime of the device, it almost, if you add everything in, produces as much energy out as it took to make it. Well, that may be great if you need energy in a different place. But if you intend to run a sustaining economy, it's a complete loser. Why? Because it eventually runs down. Now, I've made this point many times. It's called energy density. In other words, if you dig a well and you ask how much energy does it take and all the mining equipment to make the steel and the pipe that lines the well casing, and add that all up, how much energy comes out of that well over its useful life? And the answer is, wow, a heck of a lot more than went into it. Many, many times more. As a matter of fact, you can build a productive society on the excess, the high energy density output. But if you have something like wind or solar, which at least sounds good if you ignore all the real costs, and you figure out what the actual cost is long term, turns out that you cannot build a renewable society on it because it simply runs down. Oh, but hey, that's not a problem. If you simply intend to kill off most of the people and the only ones that you want to live are those that are not really knowing what's going on anyway. So on all of these fronts, folks, there's a common thread. It helps in our understanding, and that's what we'll talk about when we get back. Before
but the devil's hound. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
Joe DiMaggio, don't say it ain't so. You know the time is now.
We are back, folks. This is the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and we're talking today about something I'm still working up to. It's this idea of self-selection or filtering. I'm going to contend, and I'm trying to lay out the case here, that it is vital to understand because it's vital to what needs to happen and what indeed is happening, that is, if we will walk in obedience. But one of the things that I was trying to do as we get there is essentially provide some more arms, if you will, for those of us that have eyes to see and understand what we're dealing with and what we need to do, and also perhaps just a bit of focus. So as we went to break, I was talking about bogus science. Matter of fact, idiot science, idiot economics, Bidenomics is another word that you'll hear used for it, and so many things essentially that they're jamming down the throats of the illiterate, ignorant people who don't have any understanding. And why am I so cruel, right, to talk about things like that? Answer, because these people are killing the planet. They're literally destroying their own families with their idiocy, with their blindness, with their inability to connect cause and effect, or even study a little bit to show themselves approved. And there comes a point at which I think we just have to call what it is, and say, who are we kidding? These people, they don't have the sense to come in out of the rain. Why are we going to let them decide for us what they want to inject in us and how they're going to kill the planet and turn our kids into little abominations? That isn't going to happen. At least it shouldn't happen if we understand and systematically say, the bogus science and the place where we begin this segment. One of the elements of the big lie, okay, that one of them is COVID and the other is the non-existent man-made global warming. Well, when it became clear that there was no global warming and their so-called climate models were hideously wrong, remember what Al Gore said 20 years ago? Well, within 20 years ago, there wouldn't be any seacoast. Maybe that's why he bought all those cheap properties on the beach, which are still fine. Okay. Forgetting, for example, because they want you to forget, the places where their predictions turned out to be wrong. You know, in the Old Testament, as people will point out, a prophet would be stoned for that. But part of the problem is their bogus computer models. And one of the things I'll say as an engineer is, you know, I can use a computer to make predictions. Garbage in, garbage out. You've heard all of that. But the key to the pudding, I guess, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If you make a computer model and you run it and it fails to predict something that you know because you have the data actually happened, well, then it's a bad model. Something's wrong with your model. Go back to the drawing board, start over, but whatever you've got doesn't work. Well, that's exactly what we see with the so-called climate models. They don't work. Does that stop them? Hell no. Double down. We got an agenda to rig here. We've got some stuff to sell. We've got people to kill. And we've, after all, come but to steal, kill, and destroy, so who cares? They're not going to figure it out. Well, here's a simple and indeed oversimplified example of what I'm talking about. If you ever see a Geoengineering Watch and Dane Wigington, you'll kind of understand. He does a very, very good job of pointing out so much of this and pointing to the real culprit here. But for example, if global temperatures go up, what happens? Well, we have a planet that's mostly water, and when temperatures go up, more water comes out of the water as water vapor, and it goes into the clouds. What happens when it goes into the clouds? Well, you talk about things like the adiabatic lapse rate, how thunderstorms form, and so forth. It's a complex process, very important, very impressive, but ultimately what happens is you get more clouds. More water comes up by evaporation. It makes more clouds. Guess what? Clouds reflect sunlight, and you get more rain, and it drops the temperature. Oh, and it also creates a stable situation. This is almost like, wow, what a wonderful design. The creator of the universe designed a planet, and he put us in a state of stasis where things tend to kind of equilibrate. Temperature goes up a bit, clouds go up a little bit, temperature stabilizes. Isn't that amazing? Well, unless you get idiots that want to geoengineer the planet, I don't know, maybe because they want to bring it into a place of destruction, or they want to kill people, or maybe they're just looking for the aliens to come down. Who knows what their idiot understanding is, folks? But the point is, we can look at the models, we can recognize that what they're predicting is a lie. And say, well, I don't know what the right model should be. I have a little bit of understanding of science. I know a little bit about closed loops, and I also know when I'm being lied to. So that is part of the key here. Understand that when we see things that don't work, and when their predictions are not only wrong, but hideously, gloriously wrong, and they don't admit it, instead they double down, well, one thing's for sure, that ain't science. And that's the problem. All right, where I was headed after that is the next target of the Biden regime. Now, I'll just do this story quickly, too, because we've seen over the last few months, the Biden Fuhrer wants to destroy natural gas, one of the cleanest, most clean-burning fuels on planet Earth. Basically, it produces mostly water vapor when you burn it, and a little carbon dioxide, which plants need to live. Oh, carbon dioxide. They're going to try to tell you that's like dihydrogen oxide. It's a deadly poison. Well, it's not. If there wasn't carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, plants would die. We'd be dead too. So if he tells you that they want to reduce carbon dioxide, be kind. Just tell them they're an idiot as opposed to they want to kill you. But the regime is now they want to destroy gas stoves. They've got idiot places like New York City saying we're not going to allow gas stoves in new construction. They want to kill off anything that's natural gas powered, heaters and so forth. Next step, water heaters. Now this is brilliant in its evil conception. The unconstitutional Department of Energy is now proposing new energy efficiency standards. How do you destroy something? Well, you can price it out of existence. You can regulate it out of existence, too. This would require all new electric water heaters, because we're not going to let you have natural gas water heaters, to become equipped with heat pump technology. And if they allow gas heaters for a while longer, they'll have to use condensing technology. In other words, they're driving up the price of water heaters. They don't want you to have hot water. They don't want you to live. But on the other hand, they sure don't want you to have hot water. And they want to price them out of the reach of the peons. And what this would do is essentially say you have to have heat exchanger technology. This is the way air conditioners work, folks. They don't want you to have those because that's actually something that makes people comfortable. But they do want you to have air conditioners when it comes to heating your water because then you won't be able to afford to heat your water. And as Representative Thomas Massie, who has two engineering degrees, has pointed out, there are some real problems with the idiocy here. First off, these products already exist in the free market. You want to buy one? If you live in a climate, and there are a few where it might make sense, depends on a number of variables, then you can go buy one. Nothing's stopping you. A free market provides them. On the other hand, consumers need to decide whether the upfront cost of a heat pump type water heater is worth the possible, maybe, long-term savings because they cost a lot more to make. Well, isn't that the point of the regulations? Let's be honest. That's why Rheem likes them and the smaller manufacturers don't, because it'll help them drive their competitors out of business. And we get a monopoly and we can do whatever we want to the consumers. In any case, says Thomas Massie, the monthly savings, even if they were real, never make up for the upfront cost of the equipment. Furthermore, if you live in a cold climate, it's worse because the temperature differential at which the heat pump doesn't work. And that means you have to go to resistive technology or burning gas to heat things up, and it's kind of silly. So if you live up north, these don't make sense at all, but they don't want you to live up north. They want you to freeze up there. All right, that is just one example of what I'm talking about, and that leads me to this one, which is probably one of the more satanic examples. If you haven't heard about this, it's important that you understand it while there's still time. Not that you're going to be able to do much about it, but hey, yes, you can, and that's really where we're headed. This is courtesy of the Dr. Mercola, and it's about the Biden Fuhrer. Well, it's about the people pulling the Biden Fuhrer strings. Whenever I say it that way, understand that this guy doesn't have the brain cells required for him. But at least when he puts his X on the bottom of the executive order, Well, somebody at least is pulling the puppet strings. All right. This is about something called SRM, which stands for Solar Radiation Modification, a form of geoengineering that says they intend to cool off the Earth by reflecting sunlight back into space. Now, if there's a more satanic plan, I'm honestly not sure what it is. Well, maybe injecting people with something that will modify their DNA and destroy their immune systems, but aren't we talking about the same people and the same goal? This controversial strategy, it says, comes with significant risk. Gee, do you think? But that didn't stop the White Whorehouse from moving forward with what they called a research plan for, quote, solar and other rapid climate interventions. This congressionally mandated research plan is focused on atmospheric-based approaches such as SAI, stratospheric aerosol injection. Hey, if you've watched a plane dump something into the stratosphere and seen how it doesn't look like a regular contrail because it forms right after the engine exhaust, in other words, and these are high bypass engines anyway, as any pilot can point out. No, what's coming out of the back of these things is not contrails, folks. It's chemtrails. Oh, you can't say that because they'll ban you from two Facebook and Twitter. Well, it's stratospheric aerosol injection and also maybe marine cloud brightening. That's a variation on the same theme. But it turns out this stuff can have, who could have thought it, unintended consequences, including lower average precipitation. Hey, are you seeing droughts anywhere in the country? Loss of biodiversity and impacts to food production. Well, wait a minute. That's not a bad thing. If you want to kill people, that's a good thing. Isn't that what they're doing in the Netherlands, trying to get rid of their ability to have beef cattle and fertilizers? The goal is to kill people. Let's just be honest here. Impacts to food production along with heightening geopolitical tensions. Why? Well, because if you realize that somebody wants to kill you and they're trying to destroy your climate and turn your arid your already arid farmland into complete desert, maybe you decide you want to go to war against them. There are worse bases for going to war. We see them all the time. There's also a risk that climate modification technologies, here's a shocker, could be weaponized against the global population by controlling rainfall and drought. And all I can say to that is, duh. And guess what? That's the real purpose here. So the article goes on to say, what is stratospheric atmospheric injection, aerosol injection? Bottom line is they put all kinds of things in there, allegedly to increase the reflectivity of clouds. And guess what? As Geoengineering Watch and Dane Wigington are pointing out, they have been doing this. At the point where they tell you we're going to run an experimental program, that means we already have the fully armed and operational Death Star, and it's been deployed. SAI is intended to mimic the cooling effect of large volcanic eruptions. In other words, well, we could call it nuclear winter as well. And yes, radiating more solar radiation back into space as aerosols lower global temperatures also could have a serious side effect, which is, of course, the intended effect, lowering average precipitation. As a result, hey, don't worry, just like we give you one drug and it causes your heart to fail, we'll give you another drug to make your heart feel better for a while. Anyway, additional geoengineering techniques like thinning out cirrus clouds in the upper atmosphere would be necessary to counteract the idiotic induced decrease in propagation, in precipitation. Okay, I'm not going to quote the White Whorehouse because they, I'll mention one of them. Here's one of them. They said the following. SAI approaches would worsen soil acidity. Do you see a little of that already? With impacts to food production compared to warming at representative concentrations, pathway, bloody, bloody, blah. The impacts of sunlight scattering could have negative effects on crop growth that harm nutrition and negate the benefits of limiting temperature increases. Are you kidding me? The point here is the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. They don't care about the negative effects, folks. That's the point. They are looking to control global climate. They are looking to create droughts. They are looking to shift temperatures around. This week, you heard it in the news. Oh, the Biden Führer is on TV saying, it's hot. We have to fix the fact that it's hot. Why? Well, because we have been manipulating climate and using things like HARP to redirect the jet stream, redirect storm tracks, and produce flooding in some places and drought in other places. Oh, and in the meanwhile, we'll convince all the idiots who don't understand what we're doing that global warming. No, it's not. It's caused by man-made global shifting of things. But the global temperatures, that's not the issue. Now, by the way, the bigger driver on all of this is the sun. And the next bigger driver, as Dane Wigington points out, is if you got people doing things that they're not telling you about, like geoengineering, literally already planning on destroying the climate and geoengineering the planet and reflecting sunlight and so forth, well, those effects we are seeing. Now, what was interesting to me in this story was a warning in here. Because there are some researchers sick at the National Nature Ecology and Evolution Center that say if geoengineering were started, in other words, like it already has been, and then abruptly stopped, it would, quote, significantly increase the threats to biodiversity from climate change. So in other words, once we admit that we've started it, don't you dare stop us. And they noted that once started, geoengineering is too dangerous to stop, but given the politicized nature of the technology, rapid starts and stops are, once the peons figure out that we're killing them, they might just come after us with ropes and lampposts. So we're going to have to disarm them before they realize what we've already done to them. Okay, there is a lot more here. There's even a I will go through a bit of the end of the story in the couple minutes that we have left. There is a company called Editas, founded by, you never heard this name, the Financial Investors Association, Bill Gates, big investor in Editas. This is a company that intends to edit the world as if it were a word program. Two scientists that got the Nobel Prize this year, both have been funded by, same name, Bill Gates. And so you finance the research, then you finance the public institutions, whether they're national or multinational. You invest, you force them down the pathway where they only are able to use your patented intellectual property. And furthermore, you get a huge return. Put in a buck, get 20 bucks out. How many billions have been put into modifying the planet Earth climate? Well, you can imagine how many trillions will be made, especially if you have the only farmland and you're the one that can shut off the rain to all your competitors and geoengineer things and kill people that you don't want anyway. Remember, when they've destroyed the population of the planet as they intend to, it doesn't take nearly as many people and it doesn't take nearly as much food for what's left. Okay, we're here, but I hope you get the point. The idiots that are telling you to believe their bogus science, but don't worry, our computer models have never predicted what's actually happening. You can trust us this time, though. Just like you can trust us to still that the masks were idiocy. We're still not going to admit that all these famous people, you can name the names that have died or croaked on national TV or fallen over while they're doing the weather because we mandated the injection, or maybe they croaked behind the wheel of the control stick of an airplane. But, well, we hid that, and, the right-hand pilot made the emergency landing, and we hauled the body off the plane after the pilot, and the passengers were already taken out. We are seeing so many indications, in other words, of exactly what's going on, that at this point you'd have to be blind as well as duped in order not to recognize it. Okay, well, so let's come full circle. What am I suggesting here? Put me in, coach. The people that we are, in fact, I guess I'd say it this way, hopefully going to see on our team are not the kind that have to be bribed, paid in fiat. And matter of fact, they will know that fiat isn't real money and that there are other things. Store up your treasures in heaven. There's probably dozens, if not hundreds, of verses that will help us understand that. But ultimately, the goal today is to help those that finally come to grips with the obvious and understand that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy, what they need to do next. One of the other threats, one of the things that I think is people will look at this, they'll see this geoengineering and say, has the planet already been destroyed? Well, arguably, it may have been. Well, then what? Well, folks, it's just one step along the path that most of us have already taken anyway. You know what? If they decide that here's a small community that's living off-grid, we want to send in the army and kill them, you probably can't stand up against even an inept, transgender, dumbed-down U.S. military. But what you can stand up to is the satanic forces that are controlling whatever it is that comes to steal and kill and destroy. In other words, if you're not on the right team, you don't have a prayer. But if you are, We have far better promises, and that's what really matters. So that's the hope that's within us. That's the look up for your redemption draweth nigh part. And that ultimately is the goal. Because what I want to encourage people to understand is we're talking about this idea of self-selection or of filtering. As I went through all of these stories, and I talked about that big gap up front. Remember what we're dealing with here. People who will say, oh, that's conspiracy theory. Well, sorry. You know what the joke goes, right? A conspiracy theory that's 6 months old is a fact. If you can't figure it out by now, you're probably not ever gonna. You're blind. Your delusions have been chosen for you. You know what? You're not on our team. And don't let the door hit you in the you-know-what on the way out. We have better things to do. People that are gonna pay attention. Good news. Those that will come out and that will seek the remnant will self-select. So my goal, our goal, the thing that I'm encouraging people to understand is we need to be armed with the information, armed with the truth, so that when, not if, those who have figured it out, and they may not even be people that we expected to or that we know at this point, but when they come to us and say, hey, wow, I need to get out of Dodge. I maybe didn't have enough time to do what I need to do. How can you help me? Can you at least give me some information? Can you direct my path? Show me the places where I should go. Help me to be a sheep, in other words, who knows what the shepherd is looking for and understand where I need to go. All of this is about self-selection. It's all about filtering. And one of the things that I've both loved and hated over the last few years is some of us, that would include yours truly here, have come out and gone off-grid and tried to build places and say, hey, I hope to see a community built. And ultimately, I think the thing that all of us would understand, it never seems to go as fast as we'd hope. We tend to think people are going to wake up. They're going to see it. They're going to come out of the woodwork, and they're going to say, hey, put me in, coach. I'm ready to help. And maybe we get a few, but you know what? It's depressingly slow. I think there'll come a flood. My concern is that the flood will come too late for them. But my understanding is what we need to do is simply be ready. Do the best we can. Understand that the timing and the individuals who choose to have eyes to see, we can pray for our loved ones. We need to pray that they have eyes to see. But as for the rest of them, well, that's up to him. Right? He will choose those. He will heal those. He will bring those. He'll show those. There's a wide path that leads to destruction, a narrow path that leads to the place where hopefully all of us are walking. So let me close with this verse and a couple of related comments. I saw a story earlier today that I thought it was interesting, but it struck in my craw a bit because I think the author missed the main point. It was concerning a verse that you'll see in the letter to the Philippians. Chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you. And I'll read it the way the King James translates it, or mistranslated. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, it turns out that that wasn't the name that he was given by the angel. Does it matter? Well, it matters if we understand Paul warned us against another Jesus whom we had not preached, all right? I'm not hung up about the name, but I need to make sure, we need to make sure, that the one we're talking about is the real one. So let me ask the question. When he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua HaMashiach, what mind is he talking about? Well, guess what, folks? It was a mind that spoke Hebrew and Aramaic. It was a mind that was the mind of the author of Scripture, the author of Torah, the instruction itself, himself. In other words, it is the kind of mind that is exactly what we need to have in us. Isn't that what the verse is talking about? And if it's another Jesus whom we've not preached, it's a different mind and it's wrong. And it's one of those verses that helps with this idea of self-selection and understanding. So I'll leave you with this concept. We need to be ready and we need to be able to discern and to use the mind that he's given us, whether it's science or understanding Scripture, to rightly divide his word and the truth on every level. The deception, no doubt about it, is thick, but there's a reason he warned us in Hosea that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, too. Because we live in a country that's been dumbed down and a whole world that has rejected knowledge, and we are seeing the consequences. Don't fall for it. Don't be fooled. And understand that by objecting to that, and by trying to seek his truth, and being open to understanding, we are in fact self-selecting. But that's just the beginning of the process. We've just been through the biggest psych experiment and bioweapon deployment, arguably in human history. And a lot of people haven't survived, whether they know it yet or not. And that, too, is self-selection of the wrong kind. We're going to see more. If you think what we've seen so far is scary, just wait, because ultimately we're going to have to realize that the only real protection against what we're up against and what we're going to see is His. But we still have to do our part and walk in a way that is pleasing to Him and in accord with His instruction so that we can count on the blessings that were promised. Because most of them are in fact conditional. The evil is here. It's obvious. We can't stop it politically or in our own strength. So then what? So now what, really? When it comes to the rest of what we need to do, and the part about building community, self-selection is vital to understand. We are looking for those that will come out and self-select and want to be part of what He's got planned for us. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.